Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, October the 23rd. And once again, thank you, thank you, thank you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. As an ongoing member or a brand new supporter who called in a pledge during our just concluded pledge drive, you're the best, and your contributions will make the Ideas Network an even better place to find talk about issues that matter to you. And I hope the state budget matters to you. The full legislature will vote on the proposed budget today. There's plenty in it, we heard some in state news, that will affect your pocketbook and the quality of life in Wisconsin. We'll go over the plan with our guest and welcome your questions and reactions and wonder if this is what you expected or not, whether you are relieved or disappointed or happy or angry. We'll talk about whether there were any winners or losers in this agreement, which was reached on Friday between Governor Doyle and legislative leaders, was passed out of the Budget Conference Committee last night, and now goes before both houses of the legislature for an up or down vote today. No amendments. 1-800-642-1234, our toll-free number to join in the conversation about the state budget. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Dennis Riley. He's a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, and a frequent guest analyst on this program because he knows a lot of stuff. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So finally, huh?
Yeah.
And we were supposed to have this state budget in place on July 1st, and now
Right. Here
we are almost 4 months later. What took so long?
Well, if you look back, and I'm sure you have, at the original proposals, that the ones that came from the governor and then the response of the Republican-controlled assembly, there were some differences that you couldn't really call sticking points. You'd have to call just fundamental differences, philosophically based. The Republicans wanted absolutely no part of the expanded health care coverage that the governor wanted to and the Senate Democrats wanted to put in place. And that was going to be very, very expensive. There's no question about that. There was also the difference of opinion. The Republicans, so many had taken that anti-tax pledge that they felt that even a tax on hospitals and oil companies had to be defeated some way or another. They couldn't defeat the cigarette tax because some revenue had to come in. But they really wanted to nail those other two, and they succeeded in doing so. As far as they're concerned, those taxes aren't in that budget. Those were huge differences, and they weren't differences that, as budget differences often are, that could be negotiated out in terms of the number of dollars. Well, let's just cut a little here and cut a little there.
Mm-hmm.
They were basically saying no, period. And so that left the governor in a very difficult position because those were priority items. He managed to get the transportation projects funded a different way, and so he's okay with that. I think he's very unhappy about the tax on the hospitals because there was so much federal money at stake out there for the Medicaid program, and the hospitals are very frustrated by Medicaid reimbursement.
Yeah, talk a little bit about how he's getting the transportation projects funded if it's not this oil tax.
Oh, it's just one fee after another, one fee increase after another. For everybody's license plate fee will go up by I think it's $20. Licenses on big trucks are going to go up very substantially. On smaller, lighter trucks, they'll go up more than they do on passenger vehicles. Excuse me. There's just a whole bunch of those kinds of fee increases, which apparently in the Republican parlance at this point anyway are not taxes. They're simply fees. And in a sense, that's true, because they're not paid by everybody, but they are paid by everybody who licenses a vehicle, and that's a pretty high percentage of the state. An awful lot of us that have at least one or two or three vehicles in our households. So even though that's not a lot of money, it's going to add up, and that's what's going to pay for those projects.
We're talking with Dennis Riley, a professor of political science at UW-Stevens Point, about the new state budget compromise that the legislature will vote up or down today. Most are predicting it will pass. And we will wonder what our guest says about that after we check weather. And we wonder what you think about this plan, what questions you have about it, if you're generally pleased or not with how the legislature and the governor dealt with this and the compromise that resulted. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 16 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, October the 23rd. Today, the state legislature will vote on a new state budget agreement. It was reached on Friday and passed out of the conference committee, the budget conference committee, yesterday, and now goes before the legislature for an up or down vote today. We're welcoming your questions about this, your reactions to it. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is telling us what's in this budget and what's not, and analyzing what took so long and whether this is indeed going to be a good budget for Wisconsin or not, or somewhere in between. Dennis Riley, a professor of political science at UW Stevens Point. And the legislative leaders are predicting this is going to pass. Professor Riley, any reason to think otherwise?
No, I don't think there's any reason at all. I know that the legislature, as much as the governor, want this behind them so that they can do something else and think about and talk about something else. So I'm 99% certain it'll pass without too much trouble. And given the rules under which it comes up, that is no amendments, nobody can tinker with it. You either have to vote yes or no and get it done with. So mm-hmm. I think it'll pass. The intriguing thing, and I haven't seen anybody writing about it yet, but it will get interesting, as it always does. It goes back to the governor's desk, and the governor of Wisconsin has the most interesting budget veto power in the country. Mm-hmm. So the political question will be, would Jim Doyle mess with this after it took 4 months to get it? Will he make big changes with the pen have to go back to the legislature? He may want to go to the legislature on the Medicaid hospital funding. He may want to go back to the legislature on the whole big health care proposal. And I don't think he wants to poison the waters too much. So I think he may very well swallow this, not quite whole, but closer to whole than the last time around.
We talked with Sean Johnson, our state government reporter here at Wisconsin Public Radio, yesterday, and he had some audio of Governor Doyle from the Friday night news conference saying that maybe a few vetoes, but maybe a few, if any, vetoes is what he was saying. He wouldn't promise no vetoes, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see. That that'll take a little while. We're not going to necessarily have this budget in place by the end of the week, doesn't it?
No, not at all, because he'll have to take a good look, and then he'll have to make the political calculations. Is there anything in there that's really offensive? Is there anything in there that he really wants to change enough to raise the hackles of the Republicans one more time?
Well, let's go to the phones, and you too can call in with a reaction or a question to the state budget agreement that the legislature will be voting on today. Do you have any questions about what's in this or what's not? Do you think this is a good plan or not? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Jim in Stevens Point is with us first. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. My question is, why do they continually avoid the state liquor tax without increasing that? They seem to go after the education, as far as the tuition for students, the vehicle registration, they continually raise that, but yet something that would be so obvious that hasn't been touched for years, we avoid. Now, back a couple of years ago, this question was brought up, and they said that it just really wouldn't bring in enough tax, but you know what? The way it seems like they're trying to catch dollars wherever they can, but yet they continually avoid the state liquor tax, and I'll take my answer off air, okay? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Professor Riley?
Okay, I suppose there's two things that are probably going on. One, you really do get more revenue out of a cigarette tax increase than an alcohol tax increase. That goes back a long ways. But also, the behind the scenes, the Wisconsin Tavern League is a relatively important organized group, and they can put a lot of pressure on legislators because they don't seem like the big-time lobbyists. This is just the people who own the corner bars that Wisconsinites are so fond of. And so they're able to exercise considerable clout, and I wouldn't be surprised if Miller Brewing Company has a word or two to say, and they're not an insignificant economic force in the state. So I think you've got a combination of folks much better organized to present their case for not being subjected to these kinds of tax increases, whereas the smokers' lobby would probably be laughed out of the building. They're not going to be able to put much pressure. And so it just seems like there's a real political mismatch, whether it involves numbers of people, probably not, but it involves standard use of political resources in the legislature.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Jim, for the call. The cigarette tax, a dollar per pack increase, would be implemented January 1st, 2008. And that money raised would pay for what, Professor Riley?
Well, there's a couple of things, that it's going to go for. There is, part of it will go for healthcare-related items, some of it into helping defer or defray the costs of Medicaid, some of it for an education program. At least $30 million or so is set aside for an anti-smoking, smoking cessation education programs. I'm not sure exactly where all the rest of the money ends up, but with the loss of the tax to try to help with the Medicaid situation, I imagine some of it has been funneled over there. I know that was the original plan anyway.
Yeah. The talked a little bit about Democrats and the governor compromising and dropping this hospital tax, which at first was being referred to by Republicans as a tax on the sick. But this was intended to get more federal Medicaid dollars, matching dollars?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Medicaid is a classic case of federalism. The federal government puts money in, states put money in, even counties sometimes have to put money in. And the amount of money the federal government puts in is dependent in part on the amount of money that the state's willing to put in. So what the governor was trying to do, I think, and the Democrats were trying to do, and the hospitals ultimately came around and said, go ahead, we think this is necessary, and they're pretty unhappy that it got cut out, that we'll pay an increased tax, but as a result, our reimbursement will go up because there will be more money available in the fund to reimburse us. The Hospital Association, Wisconsin Hospital Association, says that its hospitals get back approximately 49 cents for every dollar they spend mm-hmm. treating Medicaid patients. Now, I am not an accountant. I couldn't go over their books and find out if it was 49 or 59, but it's still so far under even reimbursement that, as they say in their press release, and again, to a substantial degree, they have to do this, those costs have to be paid by somebody, and the best place to stick them is insurance companies that are paying for regular patients like us. So some of it has to be passed on to us.
Yeah, and it was interesting that at first the Hospital Association was opposed to that tax, but then dropped that opposition, a few weeks ago.
Right, and I'm not sure that I can explain exactly why they changed their minds. I mean, maybe somebody just showed them a different set of numbers, because they didn't change their minds because they were going to lose on it. The Republicans managed to keep it out, so if they wanted to back those non-tax Republicans, they certainly had that option.
Mm-hmm. Politics obviously involved in all of this, but is this budget agreement, a winner for the Democrats or a winner for the Republicans or neither?
Well, there's a good chance that it will win for both. There's a great, I can't find the exact quote, but it's a great quote from a UW lacrosse colleague of mine, Joe Heim. Given the way Wisconsin legislative districts are drawn, the Republicans can go back to their very safe Republican districts and say that they defeated several important taxes. The Democrats can go back to their Democratic districts and say, well, we got more money for higher education, we staved off big property tax increases, and we increased Badger Care. And so both sides can say they won something fairly big. And because they'll be talking essentially to the faithful when they say it, it should work out just fine for them.
Yeah. And the faithful and all the rest of us? Are we fed up with how long this took? Are we mad at our legislature and our governor over this, or will we forget about this before too long?
Probably both. That is to say, we're probably mad today, but not all that mad, and we won't be mad very long because the substantive issues of it are going to turn out to be the things that get played up, and there'll be a few people that will say, this took too long. And most of the legislators will say, and the governor will say, you're right, it took too long. But each side was fighting for fundamental principles and all the rest of that stuff. And, you know, it's over. And Wisconsin, because of its, you know, continued funding and the rest of it, Wisconsin didn't have to have the governor talking about midnight, we'll pull all the state police off the highways and so on, like Michigan had to go through a few weeks ago. We don't get to that point. So most of us, I mean, including me as a state employee, my October 1st check showed up.
Yeah.
You know, I got paid. It wasn't, there's no raise in it, but I got paid. And my students are being given the opportunity to come to school, and their financial aid packages will be reworked. And they're not, you know, there's just all these ways in which Wisconsin is able to escape the real consequences of 115 days waiting for the budget.
Well, we did hear, though, the governor, again, within the last couple of weeks, saying, well, maybe we would have to have some sort of partial government shutdown if the budget didn't pass soon.
Right, and we might have, because there are things besides people's salaries in the state budget, and clearly the energy companies are not going to say, well, we'll let you heat at last year's costs because you're such nice guys. So we know that there would have been consequences. How much they would have been at that point, it's hard to say. And some of that was the governor trying to turn the screws just a tiny bit so that we'd have something before the end of this month. I think he really wanted it then. The UW system wanted it by then very badly so that it could plan for the second semester.
Mm-hmm.
And the local school districts wanted something. They were getting desperate for figuring out exactly what they were going to have to do. So there were just a whole lot of reasons why he wanted to tighten it a little bit, and that was a way to tighten it without really appearing to be too obnoxious.
Yeah. Well, do you think to prevent something like this, this budget delay from happening in the future, there might be a move to pass some sort of legislation that might call for some sort of government shutdown or maybe arresting lawmakers or docking the pay of lawmakers? We heard about all those things.
Oh, they'll all be talked about a little bit, and every now and then maybe one or two may even surface in the form of legislation that will quietly die in committee. So, no, again, because there were not so many consequences for the people of Wisconsin, it means you can run, or that we saw anyway, it means you can run 100 days late. And I think they'd rather be able to run 100 days late than have their feet to the fire right away, you know, but just before July 1st with all these consequences. I don't think most of them would have wanted to be in the position that the Michigan legislature and the Michigan governor were in.
Yeah. Well, let's check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio and then wonder if you're okay that this budget was 100-plus days late. If you have any questions about what's in the budget agreement that the legislature will be voting on today, are you overall happy with this agreement or not? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with UW Stevens Point political science professor Dennis Riley, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Tuesday, October the 23rd. And later today, the state legislature will vote on a new state budget. After nearly 4 months, 4 months impasse, the legislature will vote on an agreement that was reached on Friday and passed out of the Budget Conference Committee yesterday. It's an up or down vote today. No amendments, no changes. And then it goes on to the governor. The governor has said that he will use his veto pen sparingly, if at all. We are talking about what's in and what's not in this budget agreement, what it means to you, and welcoming your questions. Are you happy with this agreement or not? Do you have any questions about what's included? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Not a lot of activity on the phone lines right now. Does that mean you're okay with this and you're okay that it took more than 100 days? It's 100 days late? Does that not matter to you? We welcome your input. Here's what's in this agreement. Here are some of the key provisions. The cigarette tax will be upped by $1 a pack. The hospital tax was dropped. The oil tax was dropped. There will be a transfer of $200 million from the state patient compensation fund to be used for other programs. We will talk a little bit about the controversy over that with our guest in just a moment. It does fund and increases the funding for K through 12 education by $525 million. Badger Care Plus is in the budget. It allows all parents to buy state subsidized health care for their children, regardless of income, as well as 70,000 low income adults will be able to buy into such programs. It raises your vehicle registration fee $20 to $75 now for cars. Financial aid, $322 million in additional aid for higher education. It funds the UW system. It fully funds the growth agenda. There is a $159 million increase for UW system funding, but that is $21 million less than originally proposed. And what else? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. There we go. I knew that would get the phone lines lighted up. Dennis Riley is our guest, professor of political science at UW Stevens Point. And as a UW system employee, Dennis Riley, I know you're interested in the UW system funding, but saying that as in the spirit of full disclosure, mm-hmm. Is this $159 million increase, is that good?
Well, obviously, from a self-interested perspective, sure, it's good. Any more money that goes into the university system, we find ways to try to use it. But this is talking mostly about being able to expand our enrollments, even though there's a slight downtick in the number of 18-year-olds that'll be interested in the system here pretty soon. We're talking about reaching out much more to people, you know, what we call non-traditional students, but I mean people who are in their late 20s or early 30s, who aren't satisfied with their economic situation, they aren't satisfied with their professional situation. We're trying to reach out more to them. We're trying to just open more spots so that more high school kids and more people that are out in the workforce can find ways to get into the UW system and change their economic future.
The Wisconsin Medical Society is in the news saying it plans to challenge the decision to transfer $200 million from the Patient Compensation Fund. This is a medical malpractice fund to transfer that to other areas to help pay for other programs. The group has hired a lawyer, and they say that doctors and hospitals pay premiums into this Patient Compensation Fund for medical malpractice insurance, and it shouldn't be used for other purposes. What's your take on that?
Well, I'm fairly certain there will, in fact, be a lawsuit about it. What I don't know, and I don't know enough about that fund, to know how it's structured under the law. And it could be that that a loophole was put in to be able to take money out of it for health-related purposes on a temporary basis, et cetera. If that's in the law, then the lawsuit will fail. But if it's not, it could be a very interesting argument that you set something up for one reason and then all of a sudden you take money out of it and you use it for something very different from what it was intended, and you're not supposed to do that. It'll just get to be a very interesting thing. It depends on how the law is drafted and how this budget is drafted.
Yeah.
Judy Robson thinks this budget is drafted in such a way that their lawsuit will just collapse.
Yeah, it says Doyle and lawmakers say the fund has a surplus that can be used for health care programs. Mm-hmm. The legislature's own auditor, though, says the transfer might be illegal. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Right?
Stay tuned. Ernest and Hayward, hi, you're on the air.
You keep mentioning oil tax, but it's really was going to be a tax on the oil companies. There's a big difference, isn't there not?
You want to explain what that oil tax was all about, Professor Riley?
Ernest is right. It was to be a tax on oil companies, but it's hard to imagine that those oil companies wouldn't have managed to shift the, you know, better than half of the burden of that tax from their shareholders to their customers, and that's us. So presumably, it's not a tax on oil. You have to tax somebody to tax people, but it was going to be a tax on oil companies, which I think much of which would have been passed along to Wisconsin consumers, or since they're international companies, maybe they would have spread it over a larger group.
There was something in the proposal that would make it illegal to pass it on to consumers, but many people were saying, how are you going to know?
Yeah, I don't think that it would have allowed the kind of examination of corporate books that would have allowed you to see where it went. And money, as they say, is something that's pretty, it's not just easy to launder. Money is pretty easy to move from one place to another and make it appear that it came from somewhere else. So I don't really think that that would have been successfully enforced.
Yeah. Ernest?
That's what I would like to have seen, though, is a raise in the gas taxes rather than the fixed cost of operating a car through registration fees, because you're going to keep somebody who can hardly afford a car now from even getting on the road by raising the registration fees, and also you're going to retard the coming onto the road of some of these new hybrids, which are going to be higher priced, and you're going to keep people off the road. It's going to be great for the SUV. I see them rolling into Hayward, pulling huge motorboats and ATVs. They just love this low-price gas, but it's going to be hard on those who don't drive much and can barely afford a car right now.
Mm-hmm. Any reaction to that, Professor Riley?
Yeah, well, that Ernest is making a very good point there. If you want to even, you can think of this as even-handedly spreading it, since everybody has to pay the $20. But extra. But we all know that not everybody's in the same position to pay the $20. Not everybody's in the same position to pay an increased gas tax either, but at least people using more fuel-efficient vehicles would pay less, while people using less fuel-efficient vehicles would pay more. And there are an awful lot of people in the country who want to begin to shift the carbon tax idea, but to try to shift some of the social costs of consuming large amounts of energy more toward the people who are doing the consuming. And the gas tax would have done that much more effectively, as Ernest suggests, would have done it more effectively than an increase in the fees. The shift was purely political, in the sense that two sides just simply couldn't agree on doing it through something called a tax, wherever the ultimate burden would fall. But they could agree on doing it through these fees, and so eventually, knowing they needed the money for the road projects, they just simply decided to do it this way.
Thanks, Ernest. Christy in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just was wondering if the local school budget is the same as it was when they were proposing to pass it separately a month or two ago.
Oh, yeah, the separate education budget.
Right, and is it the same? Are the components of the local school budget the same now as they would have been if they had passed it separately?
Yeah.
Well, and then I also want to just comment that I'm not okay with how late this budget was.
Yeah.
So.
Well, good. Thanks for joining, Christy. We have a weather break in just a moment, Dennis Riley, but are the education elements in this state budget agreement essentially what the governor wanted and what the Republican Assembly actually passed separately a while back?
Yeah, pretty much. There's almost no difference between what the governor originally wanted and what came out or will come out this afternoon.
Yeah. Dennis Riley, professor of political science at UW-Stevens Point, talking with us about the state budget agreement that the full legislature will be voting on today. 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question about it or a reaction to it. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 13 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, October the 23rd. Republicans are historically known to represent business interests. At least the GOP is considered the party for business. But is that still the case today? We'll talk with a guest who is involved in business and politics, a former Republican aide to Governor Tommy Thompson. Mark Buer joins us after 7 to talk about whether the GOP is closed or open for business. That's coming up in our next hour. This afternoon, by the way, Ben Maron's talking with Todd Barry of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance about the state budget that should be passed by the state legislature by 4 o'clock this afternoon. So more talk about the budget at 4 o'clock this afternoon with Ben Maron's and Todd Barry. We're talking about this budget compromise with Dennis Riley, a professor of political science at UW-Stevens Point. And our next caller is Tom in Ashland. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm just calling to express that I'm very displeased with what took place as far as the time it took and that there should be penalties. And I believe the state legislature has sent a message that we don't have to do our job on time. In addition to that, I believe there's a lot of professional hours were wasted planning for not having money and so forth because the state legislature did not do their job on time.
Yeah. So you would like to see something happen. What do you think about the final agreement, Tom? Any thoughts on whether it was worth the wait or not?
My reactions, it probably would have happened earlier if they would have just sat down and talked about it.
Yeah. What about that, Professor Riley? Was this delayed in part, just to make some headlines and make some points with, the Republicans saying no taxes and the Democrats saying we care about, whatever, health care?
Well, you can never tell exactly how much it's motivated by sort of cynical sides of politics and how much it's motivated by the better side of politics. That is, I think the Republicans really believe what they were saying. I think the Democrats really mm-hmm. believed what they were saying. And the gap was so huge on some really serious issues that they just simply couldn't agree. Now, there's always the possibility in a state legislature or in the United States Congress of personal pique and all kinds of other silly things getting involved. But I suspect it was a real ideological showdown of sorts. And both sides are going to be happy in the sense that both sides can go back to their constituents and say, well, we got this much of it, and if you reelect us, we'll get even more. And then we'll just see how that all plays out in 2008. But Tom makes an interesting point about, the sort of wheel spinning of contingency planning for what happens if there's no budget by January 1st and all the rest of that. And there was some money, quote unquote, wasted by people actually spending their time doing that rather than something that will turn out to have been useful come January.
Yeah. Let's go next to Christina in Glenwood City. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm wondering if there's anything in there on renewables, energy efficiency, and environment.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a few things. Mm-hmm. There's some biodiversity money. Again, these are relatively small amounts of money relative to the whole state budget. They don't come close to the Medicaid spending or the UW system increased funding mm-hmm. for the growth agenda and so on. So there's smaller amounts of money, $15 million, $30 million, but it's in there. That is, we're going to try to continue to expand our research, but there isn't a widespread, large-scale, consumer-oriented program that would deal with these kinds of things. They're basically research-driven things.
Yeah, it says here $15 million for renewable energy, about $40 million in business incentives. I don't know if that has to do with renewable energy, though. An additional $85 million a year in borrowing authority for the stewardship fund. So there was some thoughts that the stewardship fund was in some danger, but it was funded.
Yeah.
Thanks, Christina, for the call. An email from Michael in Athens. The $1 per pack cigarette tax is a regressive tax on poor people who will not quit smoking but will have less money for their families because of the tax. A comment, Professor Riley?
Well, it's very difficult to quarrel with the idea of a cigarette tax as a regressive tax. Mm-hmm. It's a flat fee on each pack. And we know that there is a socioeconomic dimension to cigarette smoking, and it tends to be not concentrated in, but certainly people at the bottom end of the economic spectrum smoke in somewhat higher percentages than people at the top and have less money to spend. So there's no question he's right. It is indeed a regressive tax, which politicians at the national level and in every state in the union rely on as a revenue raiser. They just do it because it seems to raise revenue, and yet at the same time it's a tax they can almost never be seriously blamed for increasing.
Yeah. What happens to our property tax bill with this budget, Professor Riley?
It's supposed to hold. That is to say, it's not supposed to go up very much. In fact, there's even a provision in it trying to hold down property tax increases. Both sides really wanted to avoid that. That may be one of the reasons that we finally ended up with a compromise budget, was neither side wanted to have even the outside possibility of being labeled the ones who drove up Wisconsin property taxes. And there, you know, for school districts and municipalities, there may not have been much of an alternative to some kind of property tax increases. They have things that absolutely have to be funded, at least in their eyes, do have to be funded. And an awful lot of local citizens really do believe that in the crunch, that, yeah, we have to do this. You got to plow the snow out of here. You got to do this. You got to do that. And there were cities, there were probably even townships, I suppose, that just simply would have had to make some kind of an increase to make the adjustment to get through the next year.
Yeah. I don't know if you caught the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning, but there is a headline, budget full of surprises. For example, so-called pork projects are in here. For the first times, the details of a highway earmarks emerged, including the requirement that State Highway 23 in Fond du Lac County be expanded, a project that the State Transportation Department said wouldn't be needed until 2020.
Well, you know, you cannot conceive of a budget without pork in it.
Mm-hmm.
Budgets inevitably end up with pork. This is the place where local legislators can deliver to local constituents in the best possible manner. So it was bound to be true, and the more we go over that, the more of those will emerge.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of things that the State Highway Department doesn't think are high priorities, but local legislators think are high priorities, and it usually ends up the legislators get some of it and the Highway Department gets some of it. You know.
Sue in Baraboo is with us now. Hi, Sue.
Hi. I'm wondering if there will be any changes in the homestead credit, qualifications for the credit or anything like that.
No, not that I know of.
Yeah.
No.
Thanks, Sue. Ethan in La Crosse, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. When Doyle submitted his second budget proposal, I was concerned because with Badger Care Plus, it looked like low-income single adults wouldn't be covered by that anymore. But what you said before about Badger Care Plus, it sounds like 70,000 low-income adults will be covered by that. Is that correct?
I'll look up that particular. It was a sheet of budget highlights from.
Right. And that's my understanding that got put back in the conference.
Oh, okay.
And that there, you know, there will be coverage extended out pretty far. I mean, the Badger Care Plus was most of what the governor originally asked for rather than his second round.
Okay. I have one other question, if that's okay.
Sure.
With the family care expansion, I know the assembly, the Republican assembly, kind of took out money for that, too. Did that get put in with the final budget then, too?
Again, that's my understanding, that it's back in there.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, another email on the cigarette tax. Nanette, and I'm not sure from where, thinks that smokers of Wisconsin have already bailed the state out once before, and she believes that smokers will now just go out of state to buy cigarettes. What do you think?
Well, if they live on the Minnesota border and the Illinois border, they might. If they're living right smack in the center of the state like we are, it doesn't pay economically to go out of the state to buy cigarettes. So, I mean, smokers are a group that is frequently called upon to contribute more to the public coffers, and it doesn't matter much where they live. So, I mean, I think that's probably true, that there will be a little bit of movement, but there can't be very much.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't live close enough, don't have the time to invest in driving across state lines and so on. So I don't think that'll be a widespread problem. The question that Michael raised from Athens earlier, is the real one. Do we really want to put this on the backs of that set of people that in many ways are not able to afford.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? I mean, overall assessment of this, the budget that presumably we will have in place for the next 2 years, Dennis Riley, is this a decent enough budget for the state of Wisconsin? Does it, fund needed services yet hold the line on taxes?
Well, in a sense, sure it does. But whether a budget is adequate to do the things that need to be done depends on your definition of what needs to be done. And so, as one who tends to be not only in the public sector because that's where I get my paycheck, but a supporter of an awful lot of the things that the government wants to do, I see it as a little short of what I would have liked. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, that's a personal opinion as opposed to a professional opinion. It probably represents precisely the kind of compromise that we should have expected and did expect, as a matter of fact, a long, long time ago. I don't think there was ever much chance of the full-scale health care program that the governor and the Senate Democrats wanted. Yeah. I don't think that was ever going to get through. Whether the oil tax was going to get through, probably not. The hospital tax seemed to have the best chance, and then it went down. But most things are being funded.
We'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for being with us. Dennis Riley, professor of political science at UW-Stevens Point. Thanks to Leo Duran and Karen Prager. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.